We are still in the book of James. So I've been doing this series through James. I call it the wisdom book of the New Testament. It is full of good divine wisdom that we should all try and take with us into life. And, you know, you look at the Bible and you think, well, this stuff was written 2,000 years ago by James. How does it apply to me today? And what's so awesome about God's Word is it's never dated. What you read is just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. And so there's so much we can get out of this. And we think that, oh, this is out of date. They have no idea what we go through today. Apparently God does. Apparently He does. So today I'm going to be on my eighth part of this series, The Wisdom of James. And last week was part seven. I didn't get to record last week because my voice was shot, and so we were a small group, and so I did not record. But all the other previous messages are online, and you can go check them out if you've missed any of them. Also, the women are doing a Bible study on James, so these things go together, and it's been a really good study. I think this week is going to be a really good topic. And by the way, there is an event on YouVersion, if you guys want to pull that up, if you have a YouVersion, that has the scriptures all laid out. So we're going to be in chapter 4 today, James chapter 4. And I think this goes so well with what we're seeing today. So there's been a lot of media attention about people giving accurate or making accusations against others. There's been a lot of hate speech in the media. Some of them are reckless accusations. Some of them may be accurate accusations. But once something like that gets out, once slander is spoken against another, it is very difficult to recover from that. There's this stigma that goes along with it. I've been slandered before in a way that was very hurtful. And there was a stigma that went along with that. Whether people perceived me that way or not, emotionally and in my mind, it was hard to let go of that. I thought everybody saw me that way. They accused me and they judged me without even knowing the facts. And so that is something that people deal with when slander comes out. It happens in schools. It happens in social media. It happens in our circle of friends. And believe it or not, it happens in churches all the time. Many pastors have been falsely accused of things without proper evidence or anything to really say, yes, this took place. And that stigma's there, and the pastor steps down. And I think slander is not the only thing. We can bring in gossip. We can bring in evil speech. All of these things come out of our mouths. And they're meant to accuse somebody of something. And James is going to tell us how ungodly that is. How ungodly it is. In Revelation 12:10, Jesus calls the devil the accuser. The accuser. He brings false accusations all the time against the body of Christ. His goal is to reduce human value. Reduce human value. And if you look at the world today, that's exactly how it's going. We don't see the human value. We've become numb to the things that happen to individuals that are horrible. Whether we think they deserve it or not, we've learned to treat people like they have no value. That's why slander and gossip are the tools of Satan. And what's sad to me is not only does he use it outside of the church, but he uses it in the church. So there was an article that I read. It's called Lay Aside the Weight of Slander by an author named John Bloom. And I want to read this to you. It says, this devaluating, meaning devaluating of humans by slander, is at the heart of what makes slander evil. The Bible tells us a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. That's in Proverbs 22. In this context, a good name represents a person's character, which is the most valuable thing about their identity. A good name is who we are in the minds of others. And since relationships trade in the currency of trust, a reputation is a very precious asset. Now let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 4. And the main text today is going to be verses 11 through 12. Do I have a volunteer that would like to read those two verses? Okay.
Don't criticize one another's brothers. We who criticize a brother or judge his brother criticizes the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. But you who are to judge, but who are you to judge your neighbor?
Thank you, Dan. What translation is that, by the way?
This
Holmes. Okay. The NIV uses the word slander instead of criticism, and there are different translations that will give you different words. They're all very similar because there's a Greek word used, and the word slander, by the way, the definition is defamation of character. It's destroying somebody's character, speaking against somebody's character. It's a malicious or false statement. Malicious. It's meant to attack and accuse. Well, the Greek that was used for this word refers to speaking against another, speaking against. Criticism can fall in that, gossip can fall in that, slander. It is to incriminate with speech, incriminate. So in other words, we become judge and executioner by speaking evil against another. And James is telling us that is not the way we should do things. Other terms that fall into this category might be hate speech or curses or false accusations. We've all either been under attack of that or have said it ourselves or have seen other people fall victim to this. Bless you. It is a judgment against another person with intent to cause harm. Whether it's warranted or not, we should have no part in this. Bless you. You okay, Kim? Need some Kleenex?
Oh.
Everybody's having allergies right now. Such a thing is considered evil. It's come on. Hey, bud. Come on in. Good to see you, Ash. I want to take a picture. It's been so long since we've had the fervors here that, oh my gosh. So we're in James chapter 40. You need a Bible? I've got an event on YouVersion too if you want to pull that up. So James is saying that such a thing is a violation of God's law in verses 11 and 12. This kind of speak against somebody else violates God's holy law. And there's a couple verses about this law that I want to read to you. Exodus 20, verse 16, it says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Well, what is false testimony? It could be a lie. It could be I made a bunch of assumptions and I'm using those assumptions to speak against somebody. That's false because we don't know the truth, right? Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 says, "Do not speak false reports." Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. A malicious witness. I think of a mob that's going to take somebody even though they haven't been tried correctly. Leviticus 19:16, and these are all God giving his laws to the Levites. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Those are God's laws, God's requirements. Why is that such a big deal? There's a study that shows that the effects of slander upon a person, that there is an emotional fallout that is devastating. I read that only 5% of defamation victims can handle the emotional fallout of slander. 5% can handle it. I remember being in that situation. I was accused of something that was pretty harsh. And I couldn't handle it at the time. I knew it was an attack by Satan. I knew it was out to stop his ministry from going any further. And I felt like this just disqualified me from everything. I was ready to drop out of school and quit ministering. And so I know what the effects are and how damaging they can be. If only 5% of the victims that are under this can deal with it emotionally, that means what? 95% can't. That's a big number. The other issue with slander is it can spread greater than ever today. Before, you know, think about the time period that James wrote this. People were scattered. They came together to fellowship and to worship like we do. But to be able to get a slanderous statement out amongst the village would probably take some time for those that actually wanted to participate in that. But today, social media, and this is a quote, moves slander from pandemic toward epidemic. Epidemic. We've all seen in the news these situations where bullying has taken place on social media. Somebody said this person is this, and all of a sudden it's on TV because they took their own life, because it made such a dramatic effect on their life. You see, the danger with social media is we don't see it as people. We see an icon. We don't see the person behind that icon. We don't know anything about that person in many cases. And it's so easy to attack a person if we don't see it as a person. But that is a dangerous thing to do. Once it's on social media, it's around the world in no time. No time. So I was doing my research on this topic, and I found something very alarming. I'm thinking, well, we don't have that problem in the church, surely not. Well, apparently James had that problem in the church, or he wouldn't have written that in his letter. And so I started doing some research, and I found this study by a man named Nicholas Carroll, who was an expert on defamation of character. They use him as a witness in court often. And what he found is that homeowners associations, K-12, kindergarten through 12th grade schools, and churches are hotbeds for this. Churches. I can almost understand K through 12. We've all been in school. Homeowners associations, I can see that. But churches? Is this really a problem? I think it is. We are not to participate in such things, guys. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And if anybody has that available, would somebody read that for me? Ephesians 4, verse 29. Okay?
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Thank you so much. Do not let any unwholesome talk. We all have emotions. We're emotional beings. We all have our biases in a way. We all have a side that we're stepping on at some point in time in our lives. And there's always going to be somebody with a different worldview. There's going to be somebody who opposes what you believe in. Somebody opposes what you stand for. And there's going to be a time where you might get offended by something they say. Jesus had many people against him. Jesus was slandered, and it was because of slander that he was hung on a cross and died. People made false accusations against him. You'll read in the Gospels that they lied about him. One person said after he cast out a demon that he was a prince of Beelzebub, or Beelzebub was working in him, a demon. And God said, if I deliver demons, it's because the finger of God is on you. He was slandered many times. There are people that are going to say things that rub us wrong. How we respond is so important. Do we respond with unwholesome talk, or do we use words that build up? Well, what are some of the things that cause us to slander? Do you know more reading in John Bloom's research? John Bloom was a writer of an article about the church and slander. And what he found is that slander is indulgent because we often really seek self-flattery. Self-flattery. The self-flattery buzz of our listener approving and admiring us more than the one we are slandering. It's putting somebody down to elevate ourselves a lot of times. We are robbing another's reputation to get the drug of self-flattery, is what he says. Now, that's not all cases. That's just one reason people slander. Sometimes we pass along slanderous information that seems almost like harmless hearsay, yet the effect it has on our listeners is to leave them with an unfairly negative perception of another. I've been part of that before. You know, I've used my bias or assumptions and said something about somebody and shared that with another, which, why did I do that? It left a negative view of that person, not intentionally, but that's what ended up happening because of what I said. Sometimes we have a very real concern about someone, but we share it with someone who cannot benefit from or help with the concern. We do this because we simply want our listeners to think worse of a particular person. Pretty sad. I've seen this in the teen circle often, where there's some jealousy because somebody's more popular than another, or there's some competition going on. And so they make a statement to kind of put the other person down in order to get people on board with their agenda. And it happens with adults too. And he goes on to say that if we share a concern with an appropriate person, we can sometimes indulge our speculations or presumptions, mixing them almost imperceptibly with facts for our listeners, distorting the concern in order to sway an outcome in the direction we desire. The net effect of all forms of slander is to unjustly devalue another person's reputation. Devalue. Remember, as Proverbs said, that character is important. And we need to safeguard that. We need to protect that. In fact, when you read about the qualifications for elders of a church, it says they must be of good reputation. Satan knows that too. So what's one way he can disqualify people? By giving them a bad reputation, by speaking false statements against that person through someone else. Now, if you are a victim of slander or gossip or false accusations, the first thing to do is we need to guard ourselves against the root of bitterness. That set in with me when I was slandered. Bitterness came in. First thing, bitterness. It's like, how could this person do this to me? I'm never going to forgive that person. What an evil thing. It requires us to walk in forgiveness. Jesus, as he was taking nails in his hands and feet, said, forgive them. Colossians 3, verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Remember, we had to be forgiven before we could be accepted into the kingdom of God. So who are we to not forgive others? We need to not worry about the approval of others. We need to worry about God's approval. In Galatians 1:10, does anybody have their YouVersion open? They can read that. I think I put it in there. Galatians 1:10. Okay.
For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Amen. I'll tell you what. If we live to please God, you're not going to offend people in a sense. People that don't want to hear the truth will be offended. But if you live a life to please God instead of men, you're going to be elevated by God. The fruit that comes out of your life will be a fruit of grace. It'll be a fruit of forgiveness. It'll be self-control. The other thing we need to remember if we're a victim of this is that how God sees you is what matters most. Because the world is going to hate you. The world is going to say bad things at times. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all sin. But Romans 8:38 through 39, it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor any else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's unconditional love. God loves you despite the things we do. And no matter what's taken place, no matter what somebody has called you, God still loves you. God still cares about you. God says you have worth. You have value. In Galatians 4:7, it says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. An heir. An heir to the throne that Christ has. Don't let the world define you. God defines you. God has a final word in all of this. Remember, the Bible says that one day every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Every knee. He's the one that matters. He's the one that sanctifies. He's the one that took our sins to the cross. He's the one that gave us redemption by the blood he shed. No matter what anybody says about you, God's word stands. We need to learn to rest on God's word. In Isaiah 41:10, he says, so do not fear. Do not fear. For I am with you. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Then he goes on to say, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's who God is. No matter what anybody said, God is still in this with you. In Psalm 19:16, it says, "The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands." See, God never changes. He's always the same. He is a righteous God, and his judgments are just. They're fair. God knows what takes place. We should not be the judge. We should leave it to God to be the judge. We should walk in the grace, just like he's commanded us to do, the grace that he has shown us. If you encounter slander or gossip or malicious talk, especially with a brother or sister in the church, here is some advice I want to share. The first thing we need to do is we need to stop it in its tracks. A little yeast works its way throughout the entire batch. That is so true. This author, Bloom, points out that when someone slanders another to us, we must remember that we are not mainly fighting flesh and blood, but spiritual forces of evil. Again, who's the accuser? Satan. The Bible said he accuses day and night. He's out to make you feel like you have no value, like you're a criminal in the court of God, like your sins are greater than God's grace. We are fighting a spiritual battle in this. And so the first thing we always must do is pray against it. Pray against it. He goes on to say, our goal, particularly in this context of the church, is to help each other. Help each other. Remember, a minute ago we read to build each other up, no unwholesome talk. To help each other shed demonic weights and avoid satanic stumbling blocks. If somebody is slandering their brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, we have to remind them that, hey, this is of the devil. Don't take part in this. Bloom goes on to suggest asking these questions when someone is bringing gossip or slander to you. If they're coming to share their gossip or slander, he says, ask these questions. Have you shared your concern with this person directly? Not in an attacked manner where you're trying to just attack that person, but say, hey, I understand or I heard some things and I want to clear it up. When I went through the situation I went through, I had friends depart me like you wouldn't believe. They all went the other way. And there was one or two people that came and talked to me directly about it and said, hey, there's some rumor going on, and I know you. I know this isn't true, but do you know why this was said? And we cleared it up. I even had witnesses that could confirm everything with this person. But there was only like one or two people that actually came to me and said, is this true? Another question is, just to be clear, is this information I should know? Should I know what you're sharing with me, or is this just gossip? Are you spreading something? Another question, do you want me to help you pursue reconciliation? That's the goal of the church, right? Bring reconciliation into the body. Another one, how can I help you guard this person's reputation like a treasure? How can I help you to guard that person's reputation? We need to also not be so shy to address the offender. If we know they're in error, Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But then it gives a warning. It says, but watch yourself, for you may also be tempted. Satan can be pretty persuasive at times. He can convince us that, hey, we need to all go and gang up against this person. It says, restore gently. How can I help you in this situation? How can I be your accountability? How can we help you walk God's way? And the other thing is, we need to be careful about how we judge others. If somebody's spreading slander, we don't need to turn that into, now we're slandering that person. James warns us not to be the judge. In Matthew 7:12, Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's pretty easy for us to quickly point out somebody else's sin and forget that we're sinners too. Exactly. You know, I look at some of the accusations on media today, and you can tell they are out to destroy people. And we've all become judged before there's even a trial. There could be innocent people that are going to be just useless, devalued so much that nobody will hire them, nobody will let them in their sight before a true trial with evidence has been produced. We need to be reminded of John 3:17. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That was his first reason for coming to this earth, was to save us. There are many forms of this slanderous stuff that takes place, this gossip. If somebody's got a problem with somebody else, take it up with them. Gently address it. Don't be accusing them of something without knowing all the facts. You know, from the surface, we can, you know, take something very offensive without knowing the story, without knowing where that person's been or what's caused this. You don't know what's taking place in their life that might be producing this. We need to get to know people on a one-on-one level. I've seen many things on Facebook, and I stay off Facebook more than I used to now because it's just hard to watch. I see Christians bashing pastors on Facebook. I see Christians attacking non-Christians on Facebook because they have a different view. That never brings anybody to Christ. It just gives people the armed ability to say, you guys are hypocrites. And oftentimes they're right. I've got my share of sin stacked up, folks. Who am I to point out somebody else's other than to say, hey, God has a remedy for this thing called sin? It's Jesus Christ. Through him, you've been forgiven. You no longer have to be a slave to that sin. You can now surrender yourself to Christ and walk away from it. Repent. But you'll never see a post from me where I am going out and attacking somebody verbally. Because I know behind that icon there is a person. A person who has emotions, who has feelings, who I don't know what they've been through. There could have been some horrific thing in their life that caused them to have this worldview. And here I am attacking them without even knowing their situation. It shouldn't be. So let me conclude us with this. Slander is a violation of God's law. It is. Gossip, evil speech, God's law hasn't changed. The effects can be devastating. As we all know, especially today with the internet, it spreads like crazy. The internet can spread a lie around the world in a nanosecond. Again, if you're a victim of slander, as a Christian, you're called to a higher standard. You're called to forgive. Even if it doesn't deserve it, even if you know it was wrong, we're still called to forgive. We need to receive our value from God and not from the world. Because as the Bible says, the world is going to grow colder and colder. The love of most will be gone. People still have value even if they act hateful. God will uphold you and strengthen you. And we need to be ready to stop these things in its tracks. Don't take part in it. We have an obligation to disarm the accuser of the brethren. You have the authority and the power to disarm Satan and all of his tactics. We need to be willing to confront the offender, if necessary, in a loving way. Bring somebody with you to talk to that person. We need to just trust God. Let him be the judge. Let us not be the judge, because when we judge, we're going to be judged by the same measure. Now, there are righteous judgments and unrighteous judgments. I want to make that clear. There are times when evil needs to be called out for what it is. As a pastor, I feel like it's my responsibility to address errors in the church. That doesn't mean I'm judging. It means I'm trying to help you get past this sin in your life and step in with Christ. I'm not judging you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to build you up, because I know where Satan takes people. Let us have wholesome talk that comes out of our mouth. Not cursing, not words that destroy, not things that defile who we are, but things that build up others, things that are seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that people know the God you serve. Our tongue is a powerful thing, as James has said over and over again. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. All right, let me pray.